as you see on my iron piece of work. And then they hit it, and I have a trip up to White Coast, way up, past Canada,
and you're not far from the Utah border up there. So, you know, we're going up there and then back to the Apache and then back to the Navajo in New Mexico. So so it's going to be a busy summer. Amen. Hallelujah. Is Marvin causing an uproar? Marvin or Ronald? I knew one of them was. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. You know, Melody was talking about, how many of you know, that's our calling, is to release the fragrance of Jesus. That's your calling. Everybody talking about your calling, am I called to the nations, am I going to this place or that place? How many of you know, we got to learn how to bloom where we are right now. You're not going to get to the next place until you do what you have here. And truly, we're to release the fragrance of Jesus everywhere we go. And I like to put it this way. I used to tell the young people all the time when I was a youth pastor. I said, sometimes people that are lost don't like the way you smell. Amen. And, but, yeah, don't give them a reason for anything differently, though. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. Therefore, holy brethren, everybody say, he's made me holy. Partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Lord, today I pray on this Pentecost for an outpouring of your spirit to cause your word to come alive in our hearts and to stir up the calling and the gifting in every man, woman, and child in the sound of my voice today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. He's made us holy, and he's called us to a heavenly calling. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, as he wrote to his son in the Lord. So it's really important that we understand that. Now, he said, consider that Jesus is the apostle and the high priest. We're the royal priesthood of God. How many know our first calling is to minister unto the Lord? The most important thing we do is minister unto the Lord in prayer, in worship, amen, the time we spend before him. But also we are called to be apostolic in nature. We're to live our lives on mission with a point and a purpose to why we're still here on the planet. Amen? Amen? And it's very important for us to understand that. We are his sent ones. I mean, truly, someone who's sent to a nation is sent apostolically. But you know what? You're sent to where you work and the way you live and the way you go to school. Amen? And the way you ride your Harley. Hallelujah. You're sent. Amen? In the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody. But it's living our lives on purpose. But Jesus said this, interestingly. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. Anybody ever heard that? Many are called, but few are chosen. And I used to struggle with that and thinking, okay, Lord, you called me, but you didn't choose me. And then I heard the Lord say to me, but I need you to choose to be chosen. Well, you qualify yourself by running after what it is that I've called you to do. Amen? And so it's really important. It wasn't the Lord trying to, you know, use a play of words on us here to confuse us. He's just trying to let us hope and understand that just because you're called and just because you're saved, it's not an automatic that you're going to walk in the will of God in your life. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the will of God, especially the older I get. I might want to make sure that I'm getting this right. Amen? And but even more so as we celebrate these two young men that are graduating today, one thing I love about both of their hearts is they want to serve the Lord and they want to do the will of God, and they're praying about that and seeking God. And I just wish when I graduated I had a heart to figure out what God wanted in my life. Amen? Some of y'all need to be saying amen like really loud. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Romans says this, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. Think about that. So whatever it is he called you and I to and gifted us to do, he never takes it back. He never like changes his mind about you. Isn't that amazing? He never backs out or bails on you. I mean, God never. I love a bumper sticker I saw years ago. It said, "If you're not as close to God as you used to be, who moved?" Oh, wow. Amen. He didn't move, but did you move? And so it's important for us to be honest with ourselves about that. But I want you to take a moment, just meditate on that for just a moment. The gifts and callings he's put on your life are irrevocable. So if it was a gift and calling, you may have gotten a prophetic word or a declaration over you, maybe as a young person or maybe just last week or whenever. Nothing has changed. Say nothing has changed about what he's called you to do. Amen? That's powerful, isn't it? For us to understand that. Here's the thing. There's a pathway we're called to live on. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. There's a pathway to a Christian's life. And that pathway, hear this now, it takes you through every season of life. Whether you be a child, a youth, middle age, old age, every season of life, the pathway has a purpose. Say purpose. In what God is calling us to do. It's through every season. Here's the thing. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, growing brighter and brighter until the full day or the noonday. So there's the best yet to come. I've experienced some awesome things in God, but I know the best is yet to come for me. Amen? It'll be different than in my younger years, but the best is still yet to come because noonday glory is still on my horizon. Are y'all with me? Even in growing old and passing away and going into the next life, it's glory. Amen? And so God has called us to that. It's very important for us to understand that as we go forward. He revealed his will for man being created in the very beginning. We read it in the book of Genesis, do we not? He created men, male and female, by the way. Hello, ladies. In his image. In his image. You remember that? Now, we know man lost the image of God through sin. But through Jesus Christ, the image of Jesus now is alive in you. Hallelujah. And you're back in the image of God. And I believe that God would still say to us today to what? Be fruitful and multiply. Amen. And subdue the earth and have dominion. He would still give us the mandate to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. Hallelujah. And represent him in all places. You know, he intended for the garden to grow. Amen. The natural garden was to grow and expand across the earth. Amen. But sin always will derail your calling. Hello? Distractions will derail. Distractions are as much sin as any kind of a moral failure. Anything that will get your eyes off of what you're called to do is sin. You're missing the mark. Sin is simply defined that way. It's important for us to understand that. We have a mandate. And I believe first and foremost, if we're going to be men and women of our calling, we have to understand that our first mandate is to love the Lord our God. With all of our heart and our soul and our mind. We know this, amen, and our strength. Because can I tell you this? It's from a place of abandoned worship and love for God that you'll do the will of God. You won't. If you do the will of God without worship, you'll just serve God in the sense of like a slave. But if you do it from a point of worship, you'll serve him as a friend. Amen? And that's what Jesus said he wanted to be to us. Amen? I love that song. We sang it a lot, but I love that song. I am a friend of God. It made some people uncomfortable. But why are we singing that? Because it's a reality. If you're walking with God. Amen? Isn't that amazing? It doesn't mean I don't worship him. He's not my Lord. But what's amazing is my Lord is my friend. Is anybody here today? Our Lord is our friend. The King of glory, our Creator, is our friend. Our Father. Isn't that amazing? God is good. Isn't he good? I love the songs we were singing today. I mean, you know, they challenged me. You know, I want that to be more than a melody. I want it to be a reality of how I really feel. Amen? And I believe as we press into him, we'll more and more experience the reality of what we were singing. Anybody want that? Hallelujah. That's important. Now, go with me today. I want to take you on a little journey through a few passages in the book of Jeremiah. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Jeremiah. And how God called this young man, who was probably about the age of Angel or Omar Jr. today, And I want you to see what happened when he got the word of the Lord. Let's go to the very first chapter of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before, everybody say before, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. Because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say that I am a youth. In other words, God said, don't bring me your excuses. Amen? Because everywhere I send, send is apostolic. Everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, declares the Lord. Everybody look at me. The most important thing I learned from all the passages where God called his men and women to do things, he reaffirmed to them, I'm with you. He said, every time, go look it up, I am with you. To Esther, I am with you. Amen. To Joshua, I will be with you just like I was with Moses. I am with you. Amen. Look at somebody and say, he's with you. Hallelujah. And it's important for, but I want to also say this to you, you're never too young to follow after your calling. Amen? I know our children are next door, but some of our youth are here, and you're never too young to go after God. Amen? And for the rest of you, you're never too old to go after him either. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because think about this. He knew you when you were being formed in your mother's womb. He already had the plan. This is what I want to do with Rick. Think about that. Doesn't that amaze you? You're not an accident. You're not, you know, a mistake. Hello? There was intention to God. Even if it was, like David said he was conceived in sin. And that his mother and father had even forsaken him. And yet he was used mightily of God and had a heart after God. See, when you start to see that, it changes how we look at things. So how many of you know the evangelist James Robinson? The mightily used of God. Did you know that he was the child of a rape? A lot of people don't know that. I've heard his testimony on this. Think about that. Think about that. See, that's why the enemy goes after the child in the womb. Trying to eliminate the next evangelist and the next... You with me? Hello? It's not a message on abortion today, but I'm telling you today, there's something very, very powerful, loud and clear in the Scripture about God's intention for us, even before conception. That really blows my mind. And I can't even begin to explain all of that. But here's the thing. God has a redemptive person for every... A redemptive purpose for every person. Amen? Everybody okay? Jeremiah received this word in his youth. Can I tell you this? What did that mean? What does that mean to you? He must have been listening. How did he receive the word? He must have been pursuing God. Amen? He was listening to God. He had positioned himself to hear from God. A lot of people say they never hear from God, but they don't pray. I never hear from God, but they don't worship. I never hear from God, but I don't ever take the time to get alone with God in the secret place where you get the reward. Amen? And it's in that time with God that we hear from God. And here's this young man, a teenager, and most Bible scholars, when it says youth, they mean teen. He was in his teen years. Very likely, not long after the bar mitzvah of a Jewish boy would have been 13. And God's telling him he's going to be a prophet to the nations. Are you with me? So you might have objected to it 13. But I also know of a virgin girl that was probably likely 15 that said, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Are you with me tonight, today, this morning, whatever? Obviously, I'm not in my youth, but anyway. But later in life, when God was calling him, God still was speaking to Jeremiah along the pathway. So how many of you know exactly where I'm going when I say Jeremiah 29, turn there. Verse 11, what? I know the plans. Okay, now before you read that, I want you to look at verse 7. Holy Spirit highlighted this to me this week. Look at verse 7. We're going to go to 11, but look at verse 7. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, say intercession, for in its welfare you will have welfare. And we're not talking about the social program of the United States government. Okay. In the welfare of the city, as you pray for it, you will have welfare. Anybody seeing this? This is very important. And that was the city that he was been sent to in exile. And God said, as you pray here, this is going to release you to your next place. Hallelujah. We had some powerful prayer Friday night for the city, didn't we? Oh man, it was powerful, interceding for this city and interceding for the nations that are in this metro area. Amen? It's powerful. Y'all need to join us when you can, okay? But right now, here's what I heard the Lord saying. Right now, you're called, as Melanie's testimony, you're called right where you are right now. Amen? You're called right where you are right now, and we need to believe for that way. I mean, because there's a great harvest the Lord has for us in this city, for he, I love this, will receive the reward of his sufferings. We didn't suffer for the sins of the whole world. We're just laborers to say, Lord, here am I. Send me, use me for your glory. Amen? Now go to verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Some translations say a purpose and a destiny. I like that even better. Then, everybody say then. When you hear that, what do? Are you ready? Here it is. You will call upon me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek the plan? Not exactly. Get this now. You seek the plan giver. Are y'all getting this? Do you seek the call? No, you actually seek the one who's calling you. Notice just how it's emphasized over and over. Then you will call upon me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me, come on, with all of your heart. And my favorite six words, are you ready? Say it out loud with me. I will be found by you. Hallelujah! If you seek him, you'll find him. Amen? And you got to do it with all of your heart. Amen? And activate. I love prophetic. I love prophetic words. I love personal prophecies. But a lot of people have substituted a relationship with God for personal prophecies. And he wants you to find him. Amen? He actually wants to be found. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And look what it goes on to say. And I will restore. How many need some restoration in your life in some areas? Come on. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations, places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Only in seeking God can we know our calling. And no matter where we are in life, only in seeking God can we find out what that is. It's very important. So I exhort you today, whether you be young or old, whether you be a high school graduate or you're trying to figure out retirement, you never retire from your calling. You may retire from your vocation, but you never retire from your calling in God. Amen. He's got a plan and purpose for you, even in the golden years. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Now, many of you may feel like you've neglected the call. I believe we all could say there's times in our lives we neglected the call. We didn't give it the attention, the prayer covering. We didn't give it the focus that we should have. Amen? Some of us, it was because we weren't walking with God at all. But for a lot of us, even as spirit-filled Christians, we weren't necessarily living for the call of God upon our lives. Let's be honest. And I say that as a man who's been in full-time, quote-unquote, ministry for 40-something years. But the bottom line is God has something for us. Here's the thing. What happens is, when that happens, is we start to feel like God is at a distance. I don't feel like he doesn't love me, but how many of you have felt that way? You just kind of feel like he's not really near. He didn't leave you, but you just kind of feel like he's at a distance. Anybody with me? And a lot of times that has to do because we know we're not walking in his perfect will for our lives. And so as we do that, but I want to tell you today, God always draws you back. Because he is a rebuilder. Amen? He is a restorer. Amen? And my favorite, he's a reviver. I don't care how dead you think your call is or your gifting is. It's not. And God said, I can bring the dead to life, even you. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, go with me. My favorite verse that addresses this is another verse, a word spoken to Jeremiah. Go to chapter 31. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from afar. I know a few months ago I used this verse for something and we all laughed because I said in the South people would have thought that meant a fire. The Lord appeared to him from afar. You know what that says to me? Get this. You know what that says to me? He really wasn't far away because he appeared to him. It's kind of like, boom, here I am. Boom. I'm here. You thought I was, but he really wasn't. Do you see that? And look what it goes on to say. I have loved you. I want us all to say this out loud. Ready? Together. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with what? Loving kindness. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad when that prodigal came home that his daddy didn't punch him? Amen? Aren't you glad he said, you squandered that inheritance I gave you. Boy, I ought to lay you out. Come on, amen? Aren't you glad that the Father doesn't treat you like that, amen? But you know what he did? He ran to him. And he met him halfway and he kissed him. And he embraced him and took that filthy robe off and put a clean robe on and put a ring on his finger and sandals. He restored him to sonship, to his calling and his authority in the kingdom of God. Isn't God good? Amen? Go on and read the rest with me. I again will build you and you will be rebuilt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may feel like your calling is in the relic department, but God said, I will rebuild you. Hallelujah. O Virgin Israel, I love this. Again, you will take up tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. You will celebrate again. Amen? You know, joy, God wants to put joy back in your worship. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. No matter what season you're in, He's drawing you to restore you. Isn't He good? That's a God you can worship. And that's what this is about. His love is everlasting, and He's drawing us with His loving kindness. All I would say to you today is draw near. Draw near. Pull back unto Him, and He will respond to you. Amen? He's not really that far off. He's really not that far off like you think, because God is omnipresent. He's just a moment away. He's just a breath away. I love that song we used to sing, "You are the air I breathe." Amen? You are the air I breathe. And you might think, He is? Yes. Because in Him we live and move and have our very being. Even as a heathen, you lived and moved and have your being only because God put life in you. And in the minute He would withdraw that, we would all die. Amen? That's the power of the presence of God. How many are glad for the presence of God? Many people, when you start to talk about purpose and destiny and callings, I've had people tell me, "Pastor, you just don't know. My life is jacked up. I just can't go after it right now. You know, I feel like I am imprisoned by my circumstances, right? I feel like I'm confined by the situation that life, the hand that life has dealt me," or whatever. How many of you know that's the work of the enemy? That's the work of the enemy to convince you you've got to get everything fixed up before you can serve God. I used to always think that. I've got to get my act together. You know, if I could get my act together, Jesus didn't need to die for me. Right? I mean, if I could fix myself, Jesus didn't need to die for me. I need to throw myself on the mercy of the court. Amen? And plead the blood of the Lamb and allow God to restore me. Amen? Look at this verse here that will help you with that. Jeremiah 33. Go up to 33. Look at verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was still," get this, "confined in the court of the guard." The guy was imprisoned. You see that? "Saying, thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name." Now let's say it out loud together. "Call to me and I will answer you." Amen? "And show you great and mighty things you do not know." How many like to see some things you've never seen? You got to call to Him. Amen? You could call to Him. People in literal prisons have called upon the Lord and gotten gloriously saved. I just saw a Facebook post just yesterday about a bunch of guys in a prison that risked their own life. They all got baptized together and they were all in rival gangs. And they said, as far as in the gang system, when they got out, they're going to be dead men. And yet they gave their lives to Jesus and were baptized. I tell you, no matter if you're in a literal prison or a spiritual prison, you may feel like your marriage is a prison. You may feel like situation, your life financially is a prison. But I'm telling you, your confinement does not disqualify you for calling on the name of the Lord. Amen? And He will show you great and mighty things. Amen? Those things your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, that you've never even imagined in your heart, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen? Hallelujah. And He reveals them by the Spirit. And today is Pentecost. And it's a day of revelation. It's a day of power. It's a day of the wind of God to breathe life on us again in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Look at the result again of this response. Go down to verse 6. "Behold, I will bring to it," this is good now, "health and healing, and I will heal them, and I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel," and I love this, "and rebuild them as they were at the first." Hallelujah! Don't you love that? Health, healing, the abundance of peace and truth. Anybody want some of that? Come on, church. How about to be restored to the way it was at the beginning? Have you ever read the book of Acts? Hello? Have you ever read the book of Acts? And they all often said, "Boy, wouldn't that have been an exciting time to be in the church?" Well, guess what? The remnant bride is believing for that. Amen? A full restoration of all things. Amen? Before our Lord comes. Let's get excited. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, you might want to argue with me that these passages were speaking of Jeremiah's calling. But I believe they speak prophetically to us. Because can I tell you respectfully today, we have a much higher calling than the Old Testament people. We have a much higher calling. Think about this. We are not just saved and called. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We were created in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? He's anointed us and gifted us with His blessed Holy Spirit. I mean, we have a much higher calling of the kingdom of God and the salvation of souls than any other work of God. That's why He said even John the Baptist, as great as he was the least in the kingdom of God. And, you know, in, among those that are redeemed of the Lord. So it's not about bragging or being braggadocious about who we are. It's about understanding who we are. We are in Christ, and Christ in you and Christ in me is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Glory be. Look what Jesus said. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Say, I'm chosen. Choose to be chosen. Come on. And I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. Does anybody want to be fruitful? And He said, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, I will give it to you. Hallelujah. What a calling. And that's what the Lord has for us. So I say to you today, whether you be young or old, if you're in Christ, you have a calling and you can hear His voice and understand what that is. Amen. Even in the older saints in the room today, and I won't qualify what that means. I would say it's anybody that's older than high school graduate age. God says in Psalm 92, get this, it says we will still yield fruit in our old age. Hallelujah. And we will be strong and we will be fruitful and flourish in the courts of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about that. From my mother's womb, come on, from my mother's womb, all through our life, through our older years, we walk into eternity in the purposes and plans and calling of God. We can if we'll go for it. Amen? Isn't that good? I know that's exciting. Hallelujah. That's exciting for all generations. And all peoples and all ethnicities and all genders. God says, come on. Amen? The door is wide open for you. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. You got to watch over your heart with all diligence. Amen? They went back into praise and worship, didn't they? You got to watch over. Can y'all hear me? Okay, you got to watch over your heart with all diligence, for from your heart flows the springs of life. I mean, you know, if you don't guard your heart, it's hard to run after what God's called you to do. Because we'll say that, we'll use that phrase, His heart just wasn't in it. Right? You can apply that to anything in life, I'm telling you. But it says about David, I love this about David. It said David, when he was laid to rest, get this, had served the purposes of God in his generation. I know I've used that verse a lot, and I've talked about how I would love that to be written about me. Anybody with me? I can't do anything about the days that aren't ordained for me, but what I can do is make sure I live them for the glory of God, and I follow the calling of God. Amen? But see, what was the secret? The secret was David's heart. It was David's heart. He had a heart after God, right? And what does it say? And he would do all the will of God. That's the key. When you have a heart after God, that's that two-pronged calling we have, right? The priestly calling to love God, but it's also to do the works of God. And so when we understand that, it changes how we look at our lives and what God has for us. None of us can partake of our calling until we make God the delight and pleasure of our life. Amen? Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. You know it. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen? Desire, I have found, as I talk to people and really find out where they're at, you'll start to find out some of those desires were actually God-given. And as you delight in the Lord, you start to find out that's just what you're called to do. People say, I just always have wanted to do this, maybe be in business, or I like to work with my hands, or I like to, I wanted to serve in the ministry, whatever way. But they start to see their life, their desire. Desire and calling is very closely connected together. Because as you delight in the Lord, what will happen is, if it's an evil desire, as you delight in the Lord, that evil desire will wane. But if it's a righteous desire, it will actually become burning hot. Amen? To do the will of God. Now, when I used to share this with my youth group, I used to share with them about how they, I would tell them all the time, I said, guys, just give yourself an abandon to God. Because I gave myself an abandon to music and rock and roll and all of that lifestyle. And I said, I went after it with abandon because that's what I wanted. I didn't want, I wanted to be saved and I didn't want to go to hell, but I didn't want to really live for God. And I said, oh, if I could have those years back. And I would tell my youth group that. And a lot of times these kids would look at me and they would say, Pastor Rick, I really want to pray that way. Get this. Some of you may have thought the same thing. But I'm always afraid if I just throw my life with reckless abandon on the altar, He'll send me to Africa. Or to the Congo. Amen? Come on. Some of you would be the same way. And you know what I told him? I said, if God's called you there, you'll have a desire to go and you'll have the grace to go. You with me? That's the key. You'll have a desire, but you'll have a grace. Because you've ever met someone, they may be going to a really horrific third world situation. I know some guys, probably the worst I've ever seen was my time in Haiti and the conditions. But I'm telling you, when you have a desire to go, God gives you the grace to go. Amen? To be in that place. Amen? So I told the kids, I said, come on, relax. Now, I can't say that any of them ended up in the Congo in my youth group, but a lot of them are really serving God today in powerful ways, and many of them made many, many trips out west with us to do various types of ministry. We went to Jamaica, and we went down to Mexico and all of that. It was just a lot of... But I'm just saying, you will never regret giving your all to God and following the call. Amen? Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. So think about David, a young shepherd boy, right? He's tending to his father's sheep. And as a young shepherd boy, we learn of the psalms that he sang, his worship of God, right? We still to this day use some of these verses in our songs of David's heart after God, right? And yet in that time, David, known as a worshiper, also knew that even as a shepherd boy, he had to kill a lion and a bear to protect his father's sheep. I mean, how many of you know, being a lover of God doesn't mean you're not a warrior. Come on now. Doesn't mean you got a warrior. We've got an enemy. We have an adversary. Are you with me? And we don't need to be oblivious to the fact that there's an enemy. But we need to understand we have authority over him. And we know eventually, even still as a young man, David was the only one in all of Israel that would stand up against Goliath. And we all know that story when he took down that great giant and slew him and cut his head off and celebrated the authority of God in the name of the Lord of hosts over him. Amen? A calling is very, very powerful. And I'm telling you, there's callings in this church. This little church has a lot of calling. Amen? We haven't even met some of the laborers that are going to join with us in this hour in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on, everybody. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. He loved the presence of God. He would say, there's one thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's why I love the heart of David so much. And I wish that was my heart every day. And I'm praying more and more than it is. Are you with me? And I think we just have to watch out. But everybody knows, you might say, well, what about Bathsheba? Right? Hello? David had a misstep, a big one. We like to say he stepped in it. Amen? We all know that he did. But can I tell you, the first step that led to all the missteps of adultery and arranging for her own husband to be killed and all of that, as horrific as it is, can I tell you today, the first misstep that he made, he pulled back from his call. That's how the enemy works. That's how he sets the trap. He'll get you to pull away from what you're called to do. Hello, I mean, you know, it's not, in the kingdom, being a neutral is not acceptable. When you put it neutral, you are free game. And it's very easy to fall away. We've all been, how many of you ever, when you look back, it wasn't when you were red hot running after God. When you stepped in it. Amen? Come on now. Let me show it to you real quick. Go to 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11. Just the first two verses. Now, I want you to see this because I've mentioned this a lot. And a lot of people have asked me where it is. So I thought today I would put it in the notes. Then it happened in the spring. Now, what do the next words say? At the time when kings go to battle. Everybody look at me. What are kings doing right now? Come on. If you're a king, what are you doing? You're going to battle. That's your call as a king. Amen? You go to battle. And look what happens. David sent Joab, and it's, I don't know why I'm yelling at you guys. I love you. David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. Get this. But David stayed at Jerusalem. How many of you wish you could look back in your life in those times you stayed at Jerusalem and you wish you had not? Amen? Hello? Look at verse 2. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed. He walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw, it was said he saw, a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. Now I don't think that was the first time he saw Bathsheba, because one of his main leaders, Uriah, that was his wife. Are you with me? But see, how many of you know, when you're not going after what God's called you to do, you'll see something totally different You won't look through righteous eyes. Are you with me? And he saw something and he desired for her. We all know the story, and I'm not going to give you the details, but you can read about it. But think of, here's what I felt the Holy Spirit said. If he had gone to war, he would have never even seen Bathsheba. Amen? He certainly wouldn't have been alone, and her alone, hello, while she's bathing. I've heard people try to dog out Bathsheba. The woman's taking a bath. Dude, you should have been on the battlefield. Dude, amen? You should have been out doing your job. You shouldn't have even been looking at this woman. Amen? Come on, guys. Think about that when you go on that page you shouldn't go to on your computer. Amen? Should have never clicked on it. All right, I'll move on. I thought the men, I'd have a roar of amens, but anyway. But can you see that's how the enemy set the trap? Amen? And everything else was just one misstep after the other. Have you ever done that? I mean, I'm just trying to just do some damage control. I can't stop it. We've all been there. I'm trying to keep all the plates spinning. You tell one lie to get out of this lie and try to hide this lie, and man, now you're just a liar. Hello? There's never freedom in neutral. Never. Never freedom in neutral. That's not freedom. All right, what does this say? We should not fulfill the desires of the flesh, right? But what does the scripture say? I say unto you, if you will be led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. Now, what religion and legalism and self-works will try to do is I'm not going to fulfill the desire of the flesh. I'm not going to. And my own determination, right? But how many of you know it never works? It never works. What works is be led by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit in everything. And guess what? The result is you won't fulfill the desire to. Amen? Jesus about the law. He didn't come to abolish the law. The things in the law that are unrighteous to God are still unrighteous to God. Hello? They're still unrighteous to God. God still says they're sin. But can I tell you today, but what Jesus said, I say to you, if you'll love the Lord your God and love your neighbors yourself, you won't break the law. Amen? It really isn't hard. Be filled with the Spirit and love. Hallelujah. So David saw her and the trap was set. Can I tell you, I found this, and I believe we all know this is true. You got to guard the ear gate and the eye gate. I said that backwards. The ear gate. Now you got to guard the gates to your soul. The things you're looking at and the things you're listening to are impacting your soul. It's either edifying you or defiling you. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. And we have to set and jealously guard ourselves and be edified in the right way. Amen? I'm supposed to be looking at the glory of God. I'm supposed to be looking at the harvest that's out there. Amen? I'm not supposed to have an eye for the ladies. Amen. Or eye for the lust and the pride of life. You women should have all said amen on that one. Amen. Hallelujah. I encourage you today, though. Let me say this. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse your consciousness. Because he will cleanse your consciousness from dead works. So that you can serve the living God with all of your heart. I think we all want to. If you're born again, there's a part of you that longs for the things of the kingdom. The greater things than these. If you're born again, you want that. It's the Spirit of the Lord. There's an appetite. Let me share one more verse with you, and then we're going to read a verse at the end when we close. But I want to share with you from John 4:31. I was reminded of this week. Look what Jesus says. Meanwhile, John 4:31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, did somebody go to In-N-Out and get him some food? Amen? Did somebody go to Taco Bell? Amen? Yeah, yeah. No one brought him anything to eat, did he? And look what Jesus said, guys. Get this. My food, everybody say my food, is what? To do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. Now, that's a diet plan maybe we all could grab hold of. Amen? To do the will of God is my sustenance. Amen? Do you see that? It's the sustenance for the born-again man. Amen? To run after God. Anybody want to do that? Here's what I want to close with this thought. We can develop an appetite for God. Because the Spirit of God's in you, and so the appetite's there. How many of you ever heard something exciting that's happened? There's a revival breaking out. Somebody gets healed. And how many of you know there's something in you? When you're born again, you start going, yes, yes. Oh, I want to see that. I want that to happen in my church and in my community. Anybody with me? you start to hear the testimony of Jesus, and you have the appetite, but you have to shut down the other appetites. Amen? And run after God. Amen? And allow God to do a work in you. He'll do it. Call upon the Lord and seek Him and guard your heart. And Pastor Omar shared with us last week about how we don't want to get just a little bit better vision to where we see men walking around like trees. That's blurry vision, right? Fuzzy vision, right? We don't want to have veiled vision, but He wants us to have clear vision, to see clearly. And I'm telling you, God wants you to have that. You don't have to be, you know, skeptical about your call. God will bring clarity. I believe that was a word today. Amen? And I want Him to have... If you didn't hear last week's message, and I know every week we have different people here, but you can go on the Facebook Live the group and watch that message. It's still archived there, right? You can still see all the old messages, right? You don't... And listen to that message from last week. It was really good. And then come and throw money in Omar's lap for preaching it. Okay. No matter what season of life we're in, I do want to encourage you in this because I felt like the Lord spoke this to me this week. If we will pray, get this, for the welfare of the place that we live, if we will pray for the welfare of even our government, if we will pray for the welfare, how about this, of the place that we work at, and the place we go to school, and to pray for the welfare of our community and our neighbors, as we do that, welfare comes to us. Amen? It'll be well with you. And what I believe happens is as we do that, then we start to see God more and more starts to move the chess pieces. And we get into the places that we know ultimately He's called us to be. Amen? And you get that. But be faithful where you are, planted and bloom where you are, and then watch God order your steps. Amen? It's really important. If we can grab that, we'll see fruitfulness along the way. Because He intends to restore it. I'm going to say it again to you. Health and healing. Amen? And an abundance of peace and truth. Isn't that good? Health and healing and peace and truth. Because we run after the call of God on our life. And we pursue that with all of our hearts. So seek Him while He may be found. Call unto Him. Amen? Partake of your calling. How many of you have ever gone into a place, you paid for the buffet, you looked at the bar and went, oh my God, that's amazing. Look at all this stuff. And then you just sat down and just stared at it. Anybody? What do? You partake. Amen? You can smell it, you can see it, and all I'm thinking is I want to get ahead of that really big guy that's ahead of me in line. Let's get ready to wipe out those ribs before I get there. Anybody? Say partake. Because the calling is still there. It's irrevocable. The gifting is still upon you, even though it's dormant. So partake. Everybody say partake. Very important. Stand up. Stand up. I'm being bossy. I'm being bossy right now. Everybody stand up. Hey, Jazz, I'm going to use that last verse, so get it ready, okay, hon? The Proverbs one. I thought maybe you were shutting the computer down and leaving. No, just kidding. I want you to do something with me, and I want to pray over you, and then we're going to pray over young graduates, okay? And bless them before we go home today, okay? Thank you for your attention. Hasn't it been an awesome day? Amen. It's been a great day. Best is yet to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Best is yet to come. I love to get together with the saints and pray and worship and seek God, because I never know what He wants to do, and I know He's going to do things I've never seen before, so that keeps me getting up out of bed. Amen. I want you to do something. Now, you know the heart of man is not the physical beating heart, but it's actually kind of like the core of your being, right? So would you just take your hand and just place a hand there? You can do both of them if you want. But I want you to look at the wall, and I want us, to me, this is the greatest wisdom in the Bible about your calling. And I especially want to encourage you two guys, I love you both so much. You too, Molly. You're graduating one more year, right? Oh! Well, blessings to you. Oh, now I feel like anyway, I'm glad I'm paying attention. Bill, you've already graduated. What I want to do, I just want to believe in you guys, but I want it for every one of us. Because there's some wisdom in these verses. I'm telling you, if we would apply it to our lives, it truly would keep us on course with what God has. I mean, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Amen? And there is a doing of the commandments of God that are important. Amen? So I want us to read it kind of like a declaration over your heart. Would you do that with me right now? Before we do that, before you put it up, Jasmine, I'm just going to pray over you right now, just for a second. Lord, I pray right now the stirring in every heart in this room. Because I know all the men and women in this room. I know every one of them, I believe. And I know every one of them believes in Jesus. So I know they have a calling, and I know they have a purpose, and they have a gifting. And I pray today for an awakening of the prophetic purposes of God in each one of you for a time such as this, for this time, for this season of your life, for that awakening of that call. Some of you right now, you're going to sense something in your innermost being be stirred by these words today. Now, if you would, just look up at the overhead. And let's pray these words over your heart this morning. Let's just say it together. And I want us to say it methodically and not try to do speed reading, okay? Let's just methodically do it. I'll try to lead you. Are you ready? Let's do it together. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all your body. Stop. Some of you, that right there will get your healing. Amen? There's healing in the word. It's like medicine. Amen? Come on. Yeah. Say health to my body. Come on. Amen? Take your medicine. Amen? If somebody gave you an antibiotic or a prescription, you make sure you never missed a dose. But we got Christians that never take their medicine. Amen? Okay, let's do it. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands. Lift your hands today. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just want to obey the Holy Spirit right now. I want to read that 23rd verse, that one verse from the Passion. Just listen. Listen in your heart. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Whew! The wellspring of life. Holy Spirit, on this celebration of Pentecost, we say, come again. In a mighty way upon us all. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit. Be outpoured upon each life, family, marriage, every child. Would somebody slip out next door, please, and get my wife and the children and bring them over? They want to be a part of blessing. Holy Spirit, come. Come on, somebody pray with me right now. Just ask Him to come in a mighty way today. Because, guys, it was those guys that were willing to wait. They were willing to wait on the Holy Spirit, and He came. But they were waiting because they were going to receive power to go fulfill the calling. See how it works? Lord, we need You. We're desperate for You. More than ever before, Lord, to do the things You've ordained. I declare there are missionaries in this church that will go to nations. There are church plants in this church plant that will go into this city and go into this community. There are missions and outreaches to the Navajo Nation, to the Apache Nation, and to the nations of the earth that fill this room today in the name of Jesus, that fill our children. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe on us in a powerful new way. I pray, Lord, I pray for us as we seek You in the secret place, that a mighty wind will come upon You today in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, 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 Can we just sing that old chorus, just the universal word of praise right now? Alleluia. Lift your voice. Alleluia. Alleluia. Join us, kids. Alleluia. Worship him. Alleluia. 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 As you sing the chorus of this next song, I want you to welcome the Holy Spirit into this place, into your heart right now. Every voice say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. One more time, Holy Spirit, every voice.
And fill the atmosphere.
Verge, can you come on to Keith? Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Jesus, your presence, Lord. I bless you today with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be on your family. Come on. To be on your home. Come on. To be on your children. In the name of Jesus. More, Lord. Lord, we want to be fully Spirit-filled in this church. In our worship, in everything that we do.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of. If you want him in your home, pray that. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. I see some of you just, there's a power going to be in your home that you've never known before because you're believing for it. I see you when your kid's sick or your spouse is sick, you're just going to simply lay your hands on them and they're going to be healed. Amen? Amen? Breakthrough's going to come. And when there's a need for wisdom and understanding, you're just going to say, Holy Spirit, what would you do? How would you lead us into this, Holy Spirit? Let me just release that right now. Help us to go to a new day, a new day, a new day in you like never before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus. Not Jesus, Jesus, but hey, Susan. how do I do this? I would like to ask you to do that. I know a lot of you, we ask you to write words to them and bring your gifts. And how are we labeling these? Oh, okay. So, Angel, if you'll come and stand over here, and Omar on this side. Hallelujah. That way they'll know. And we're going to sow some seed right in to get it started. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. But I'd like us just to pray and stir up a blessing over them. Can we do that? And then as we do that, if you want to come, you can do that. Just try to do it in a way that doesn't disrupt, because I want these guys to hear what's being spoken over them right now. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start it out, but I want to ask you to do this. Don't wait. Just come on and respond if you've got a word. I've got a word for both of them. They're so much alike in their calling and their what they're doing. I may get some distinctive things later, but right now I just feel like blessing them and then and releasing that. If you do have something specific for one or the other, go ahead and give it. But can we use the mic so we can all hear and they can hear, and so we can record it? Okay. All right. So praise God. So first of all, Susan and I, let's start out. We'll just lay hands on you right now. Lord God, we thank you for these two young men of God. Hallelujah. These young men of God. And Lord, we thank you for their tender hearts that they have toward you, that they have toward the body of Christ. And Lord, I thank you that they both have a willingness to know and see and understand what it is that you have called them to for such a time as this. And Lord, I thank you that in their mother's wombs they were fearfully and they were wonderfully made. And Lord, you even then began to write their destiny and to write their plan, Lord God. And so, Lord, we come and present them before you today. We present them before you today, Lord, in the very courts of heaven. Lord, we declare your will be done in their lives. Your kingdom come in their lives, Lord. And Lord, that their sensitivity to you, that they will go places that we never were able to go. And they will go in journeys in the Holy Spirit and in ministry, Lord, in all that you've called them to do, Father. That they will do it with the uprightness of integrity. And I just decree and declare over you both that you will not turn to the right or left. Come on, y'all agree with me. You will not turn to the right or to the left, but you will keep your hands upon the pathway that the Lord has ordained for you in the name of the Lord. And that God, I bless you with great wisdom to even identify that's a trap. That's a trap of the enemy. And my God always makes a way of escape for me in the name of Jesus. And that you both will keep pure in your hearts in every area. Integrity, sexuality, in every area you'll remain pure unto the Lord. And I bless you to continue to walk before God in the integrity of your hearts as you were created in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray for an unfolding like never before of the things you have already preordained these two young men to walk in. And that you would gain them the revelation they need to walk in it. So I bless you with a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. I pray the eyes of your heart be enlightened and opened, that you may know the hope of his calling upon you. That you may know what that calling is. And the surpassing greatness of his power that is at work in you two young men. And the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Christ filling all of us and filling you too with his glory. And for his glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Dreams, visions, encounters with the presence and glory of God like never before. And that you will have, beyond a warrior's heart, you will have a worshiper heart. A heart of worship by which the warrior works from. I bless you in that in the name of Jesus.
As we've been praying over these guys this week, the Lord's been, not that we didn't pray for them before, but especially this week, I received a prophetic word from Chris Volatin, and we knew immediately it was for them, and we're going to print it, give it to them, along with their Bibles that are on order. But, okay, it says, let love cover you in your decisions and your plans. God is a good father, not a circus ringleader trying to get you to walk a tightrope through life. I pray that regardless of the mountains you're climbing, the decisions you're processing, or the challenges you face, that you would be wrapped in God's multifaceted love today. God's love is a powerful force through which we can interpret all of life's experiences. Remember, the scripture says, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. The love of Jesus is multidimensional. It has breadth. It is an extensive, all-encompassing ocean of adoration that covers you even in a dark season, and it will always protect you even in the night. The love of Jesus has length. It goes the distance. You can't fall so far that it can't reach you. You can't run so fast that it can't get you, or hide so well that it can't find you. His love is better than your worst day, stronger than the most defiant will, and it's more forgiving than your cruelest sin. When you give up, love goes on. When you fall down, it picks you up. Love gives courage when you're afraid, hope when you feel helpless, and strength when you're weary. Love goes the distance. The agape love of Christ has height. It exceeds all your expectations. Paul emphasizes this dimension of God's love in the next verse when he writes that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in. If you've asked for it, love gives more. If you've thought it, love takes it higher. If you've dreamt big, love dreams bigger. If you've aimed high, love aims higher. You dream of a family, love dreams of a legacy. You ask for a job, love finds you a destiny. You hope for peace, love longs for a ministry. You pray for heaven, love gives you his city. Go ahead, think really big, but it will never compare to what God's love has already planned for you. Father, we release that word from, we receive it from your prophetic voice, God, and we release it over them today. Father, I thank you that these young men have already established their steps on the right path. Father, I know they come from completely different backgrounds, but it is amazing how you brought convergence of anointing and desire and dream and vision upon them, God. And they are sons of thunder of this house. And we thank you for them today, Lord. We commission them to reach their generation and the older generation and younger generation for the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom of God. We decree it and declare it today in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Come on, just keep the flow going. If you got something, just...
You guys have been in my heart for this entire weekend. In the word, names would mean destiny. And all weekend long I have been stirring forth for what God has called you in the natural. And Angel, I would let you know that there is one word and only one word in the Hebrew, and there's one word and only one word in the Greek. In the Hebrew, it means to dispatch as a deputy, a messenger, or angelic ambassador, or a king. In the Greek, angelos, to bring tidings, a messenger, an angel, or a pastor. I'm also feeling, and the reason I asked you was we were sitting next to each other in the front, where your dad was at spiritually, because I felt all weekend that there was been a void with your dad in that regard. Also, in the word, there is the father's blessing that goes from, you know, generation to generation. Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob. And the father's blessing would set the destiny of the next generation. I don't know that your father can do that right now, but God wants me to do that for you. I'm to release the destiny, young man. And I am to give you what God has given me in the way of the prophetic, because there's a prophetic call in your life, son. There is a prophetic call. And it is to go farther than anybody in this room right now. Because, honestly, he wants my ceiling to be your floor. To go farther than you've ever gone before. And so I bless you with dreams and visions. And the apostles already called it out. You're going to see dreams. You're going to dream from the night hours. You're going to see visions when you are awake. You're going to see of things. God's even going to give you the ability to see the angelic realm. You're going to see like other seers. There's a seer anointing on you, my son. And don't worry about this. This is not something you can conjure up. This is something the Father is going to bring about. There's no pressure here. There is no performance. This is his destiny for you. And I bless you as a father with your destiny. And I don't give what the enemy wants to try to do against you to stop it. It is canceled. And I got another word, and Pastor Rick and Susan already said this, when I say, don't worry about the godly woman in your life. He will take care of that. Set your desires, as was already said, set your desires on the Lord, and that will come. Because he knows who you need and what you need. And he will bring along at the right time. Omar. I figured I'd get it done.
This is for you. Go ahead and keep that. That's for research.
Omar, you come from a godly heritage, but I want to let you know your name is incredible. It is a Hebrew origin. It also has some Arabic roots. Speaker, firstborn son, flourishing, eloquent. And I'm going to give you this because the passage is Genesis 36:11, Genesis 36:15, and actually in there they translate Omar as Duke or Chief. Ooh. And get a load of this one. Strong's Exhaustive actually had one more slant on this. Talkative. I'll let the Lord worry about that one. I just know what the Word says. And I'm going to stand in agreement with your parents for a godly divine heritage. I stand. And if you guys want me to, you just let me know. We'll work together on this one. And if you need me, I'll be there because you guys are like my kin. And so that makes you my kid. And I fight like a banshee for my kid. That's both of you, by the way. And I release the godly destiny in you, Omar, to be a mouthpiece. Both of you to be a mouthpiece for God. To be a lightning rod for God. And Pastor Rick, you be the judge of this, but I'm sensing one has a stronger prophetic call. This one, I'm sensing a more apostolic call in this one. And that's all right. You don't worry about this. You don't worry about it. You let Father, because to both of you, I got a prophetic call on my life real early, and I tried to help God with it. That's what we do, is we think God needs help, and so I mess things up. Omar, just let God do it. Son, just let God do it. Let Him bring about, and as you focus in on Him, it'll just come at the right time and the right place, and the same thing with the ladies. Don't worry about it. Don't strive. You put yourself in a position of servanthood, and God will bring it, son, because you both of you have people here that love you tremendously, and we want nothing but God's best for you at all times. And well, Father, I release the apostolic anointing, sent one in this one. Signs, wonders, and miracles flow from these hands. I pray, Father God, words of wisdom and words of knowledge, and Father, you will give him such specific, you know what I mean, that Father, that word of knowledge will penetrate and call the need out, and it'll be healed instantaneously. And I call forth the miraculous in his life.
For Omar Jr., the Lord gave me, like Daniel, you are called to a life of excellence, high quality, superiority, greatness, value, worthy. The Lord is calling you to such a life. You will be used to influence and change the young and the old. Not only the young, not only your generation, but you speak to the older. Your walk with the Lord is unique because you live by His voice and directions, fulfilling His glory wherever He sends you. And the verse that the Lord gave me for you is Psalms 37, verse 31. The ways of God are in their hearts, are in your heart, Omar Jr. And you won't swerve from the path of steadfastness and righteousness.
The Lord's been speaking to me all week about you, both you guys. You know, I've fallen in love with both you guys. And Irene says I have a bit of a discerning spirit. I discern the Lord just is so well pleased with you guys. And I see Daniel in both of you, an excellent spirit, a spirit that just loves the Lord, a spirit that's willing to serve. And the Lord's been showing me like a boot camp. You guys have graduated, but you're going to another level. You've enlisted, not as soldiers, but as officers in God's kingdom. So you're officers, and the Lord is going to equip and train you like you'll never believe. So I just pray that you open your hearts, surrender completely to God, to what He has for you. And I just see mighty warriors to advance the kingdom, gardeners to take the garden out to all the places of the world, mighty men of God. And I just pray over you that you'll keep to your calling, not swerve to the left or the right, but go forward. Don't move back. Keep the armor on. Keep the glory of God to your rear. Keep aware of everything around you. Keep in the Word. Stay true to your spirit and true to your Father. You guys are mighty men of God. Grab hold of it. I love you guys. And I sense in my spirit the Lord is so pleased with you. I know angels stand with us. And I know Omar Jr., you guys, you got a bright, glorious future ahead of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have something for it. That's fine. It's mine. Just like yours. It's all right. So, Angel, your name is Angel. It derives from the Greek angelos, meaning divine messenger of God. The Lord has called you, like Joseph, to bring words of prophecy, wisdom, and knowledge to people, the saved and the unsaved. You will bring the kingdom wherever He sends you. His words will be in your mouth. Live your life in integrity, separated for His purposes only. And your scripture is Psalms 37, verse 30. God lovers make the best counselors. Their words possess wisdom and are right and trustworthy. And it's for you, Angel. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I have something for each of you, but it's not very long. Angel, we've been up and down and up again. I've only known you for a few years, but it seems like I've known you my whole life. I know that you're so pathetic because of all of these experiences that you and I have been through. Everything that this world throws at you, you're just distractions, trying to pull you away from God, but don't let that happen. You can handle them because you're in God's hands. When you have that fleet of angels behind you, there's nothing that is impossible. A wise man once told me, you never know the limits of possible until you go beyond those to the impossible. You have pushed those limits, and you have become the warrior that God called you to be, and I'm proud to call you my brother. Omar, you've never made it a problem to make the most of your day. You've always made people smile. You've never doubted, you've never faltered to give anybody a hug or to give them a warm welcome. You've given out kindness like it's going out of style, even though it never has. You spread God's love like you've never done before. Every single day you outdo yourself. And just like I said, the angel, the distractions of this world are just challenges. They're kind of like levels in a game. They're so easy to beat once you figure them out. This is today, and I'm so proud of you. Tomorrow is not a promise. Make the most of your day, and because you'll never get it back. I love both of you, and I'm so proud to call you my family.
Would you just stand and extend your hands to them? Marvin, Irene, come stand behind Angel and okay.
Guys, when they were speaking over you guys, the Lord just keeps on reminding me that, you know, in the Bible, he would send them by twos, you know? And the Lord says that you guys need each other. You guys need your brother, a brother that you can cry on, a shoulder to cry on,
a brother that you can come and, you know, just open up to and just be you, you know? That's your brother. Look at each other. That's your brother, okay? The brother that won't leave you behind. That when you are down, he's gonna pick you back up. Two are better than one. Hallelujah.
When those words were coming about not worrying about your spouses, the Lord told me to remind you of this. One of the greatest love stories of all times was when Boaz found Ruth and Ruth found him. But I want you to remember where they found each other. They were working the harvest field. If you will put your mind to the kingdom and do the work of God, you will never have to give it a second thought. You work the harvest, amen? And if you get distracted, I'll bop you.
We just want to bless them, bless both of them. I mean, these are just wonderful, fine young men. And I don't say it just because Omar is my son and we know Angel for a long time. But I know their calling. I know that God has placed something very, very special in their hearts. And I know that a lot of you believe in what God is doing in their life and what God is going to continue doing in their life. Because there's many generations coming their way. And they're going to be the ones leading. And I see that for both of them. Amen. They're going to be the ones in the. They're going to be the next preachers. They're going to be the next. The next in the Congress, spreading the word of God. And see, not only for both of them, but for the rest of the young kids that are in this part of this family, that they're also going to be following their footsteps, because they're becoming an example. Amen. They're becoming an example for them. And I see that, and I speak over the word that you know, we've been hearing a lot, clarity. And I believe they're going to keep on seeing more clear and clear and clear the promises and the blessings of God over their life. Amen. So just extend your hand towards them one more time. And let's seal the words that have been spoken over them. Come on. Let's seal those words. Come on. Father God, we seal these words that have been spoken over this young man, Father God. And we bless them and we pray and we continue praying over them, Father God, that their calling might be even bigger and bigger than what their natural eyes can see, Father God. But they believe what you have called them to do, Father. That they may continue seeing the clarity in their life as they walk. And like you have spoken to them, that things of this world don't mean anything because you are with them. And we believe for them. In Jesus' name we pray and we bless them. Come on. If you guys want to come over here.